All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Hey everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Tonight we're going to talk about when the ice is off and you got open water and your first day out with your boat. What are you going to do? I know what I'm going to do before decision. Either one of you guys.
Well, what are we fishing for?
Well, we're fishing for. Yeah.
So Mitch is fishing for rainbows.
Yeah.
No.
So I know what I'm going to do, all right? And I guarantee a lot of our listeners would do this exact same thing. You're going to do a little dance. You're going to be walking down, probably singing a little song or humming or something, because you know why? Because you're finally out.
Yeah. Yep.
Winter's done, and you're finally out on the water.
Well, yeah.
Boom, chick-a-doo.
Yeah.
That's what you're going to be doing. Doing a little shuffle. That's the first thing I'm going to do. Now we're in the boat, backing away from the dock.
Wait. Here's what I'm going to do, because every year it's the same for me, and it's kind of a little ritual, I think, but... Usually Brad and I go together, first time out in here, you know, whatever. Well, I just always happen to be in the truck, and I back it in, and I go park, and I'm the last one to get in the boat, right? And I walk down the dock, and I can see you guys in the boat. I'm like, oh, yeah, here we go. And it's that step off the dock onto
into
the boat.
Yeah.
And feeling the boat take my weight and in the water.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh... Yeah, this is my place.
Well, you know what? This year, what we need to do when he's up there, let's just back off.
Just take off.
You know that feeling?
Yeah.
Wait till tomorrow.
Throw me into a Snoopy pool. Have at it.
2020. Well, I'll tell you what. Here's the first thing that I would do. I would listen to our last podcast so I have all my shit squared away, right? That's what I would do, right?
Yeah. And well, then, because you're going to listen to what me and Mitch have to say.
That's right.
You have no idea.
Listen to this.
I'm happy that a lot of people are learning some stuff.
Yeah. Mitch, sounds like Brad's backing down the boat this year. What do you think?
Not going to happen.
Yeah, because if anybody's ever seen him back down a boat, we know why he's not the one backing down
okay,
the boat.
Okay, so here we are.
So anyways.
We're 2 minutes into it. Okay, now I've done my dance. Junior's read his stuff on what me and Mitch are going to do. And Mitch is excited.
I'm on the boat.
We're backing up.
Well, you're trying to get on the boat.
Yeah. We're backing up. And this goes for probably any lakes, right? If you're fishing a lake, it's going to be
or rivers. A lot of guys go up, you know, they river fish first thing in the spring.
Yeah. So, but for us, we're going to fish a lake first out here, you know, a reservoir. So I know that when we go out and we've probably already been casting from shore before they open the ramps, because we start fishing for those pigs at night, casting, you know, stick baits, big stick baits up on shore. But once we can get out on the boat and get out at night, it's an adventure, because you don't know where that warmest water is, but that's what we're looking for.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yep. And I think that's the key. The key to this whole podcast is going to be where to go and why. And it's going to vary, of course, you know, and it's going to vary on the size of the water, or if you're doing river or whatever. But
let's just focus on lakes for right
now. But I'm just saying, but even if you include rivers, it's still the same thing. A tailwater is going to be warmer. You're looking for the warmest water.
Yeah, and for me, it's those south bays.
Yeah.
So like Chatfield, one of the reservoirs that we fish a lot. Oh yeah, it's got that kind of perfect, you know, 8 foot, you know, kind of ranges, you know, a little deeper,
whatever. Darker bottom, so it's warming up a little bit.
Yep.
It's the place that, so when you are coming off the water sometime in June or July and you're starting to get vegetation growth, right?
Right.
And you can't fish anymore. That is where you want to remember, because that's the shallowest place.
And the warmest.
And the warmest, because when spring comes, and now you're finally out on the water, that's going to be your shallowest. It's going to still have some of that old vegetation
the
growth on there.
Still on
and
the
it's
bottom.
Going to be dark. It's
that's
going
right.
to start heating up that water first, and a lot of bait fish go there.
And bugs.
And what brings bait fish?
And
everything.
It starts to bring the bugs, and the bugs will be the first to come up
so,
out of there.
So, is it a guarantee? No, but it's a great place to start.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
You know, and another thing, hey, when the ice does start coming off the lake, where does it open up first?
Yes.
That's right. It's going to be pretty consistent.
And probably in that south end, depending on the wind. But
yeah, but typically that, even if the wind takes the ice off first, that on that south side is where it's going to be.
Where it starts coming away from the shoreline. Yeah. Sometimes like middle of the lakes, they end up, right. opening up first. But you can see it, though. If you mm-hmm. go out and check your lake and you see what shorelines right. are melting away the fastest, it's a reason
right.
they're yeah. warming up the quickest.
Right. Yeah. And the fish, not only are the fish going to follow the warmer water, but they're also, of course, you know, their instincts are kicking in because now what's happening? I mean, for us, it almost is just about the second that ice comes off, we only have a couple weeks and they're spawning.
Yeah.
If that. Sometimes. Yeah. I mean, sometimes we only get a week.
Depending on when ice comes off.
Yeah. But yeah. I think you're right. You got 2-3 weeks.
Yeah. And so those fish, not only are they looking for warmer water, but they're also starting to stage up. So if you're lucky enough to have the south end of your lake also be your inlet, then, you know, of course, inlet areas can be shallower and, you know, and more like a delta or whatever you want to call it. But that's definitely going to be where those fish are. I mean, they're going to be there at night. They're going to be there during the day. And I don't care if they're full of eggs. I don't care if they just spawned. They're going to be eating.
They are.
You know.
They are. And you're going to catch a bunch of different fish. You know, the fish, their metabolism, because they're cold water species, or fish are, right? Once the water starts warming up, they warm up. They get more active.
Right.
So that's another great reason to go look for those warmer waters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, pretty interesting. I just want to throw this in here real quick. Interesting fish fact for you.
Oh, here's this fun fact. Yeah,
here we go. Mitch's fish fact.
Okay.
This is going to be a common occurrence, by the way.
Well, Brad brought that up, but you know, we all know fish are cold-blooded.
Yes.
You know, creatures. The shark is the only fish that can actually raise its body temperature.
How?
Because it's a shark and it just can do
it's
it.
The baddest
just like how you can lift your like you can lift your foot up. I don't know how it does it, but the reason is
here's a fun fact. I don't know why, but it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm just passing on.
Yeah, don't cloud the
don't
waters.
Don't read into this too much. It's just a fact.
You didn't have to go to school for this.
Come on. It's in the whole purpose is so they can hunt and swim faster and eat.
Yeah.
So they can actually raise their body temp where. No, cold water species can't. It's the temp of the water. It's sure. you know their conditions. So you know, too bad walleyes can't raise their body. You know, their
or
body temp.
Or smallies
or northerns,
right?
Or any of them,
right?
Because it probably
we know. Need a hybrid. we like fish with
shark,
teeth.
Yeah. A shark walleye hybrid.
Yeah. A smallmouth shark.
A shawleye.
But that's a really interesting fact, and I think it's something that people need to keep in mind. With
when you're
these
swimming
fish,
in the
ocean. Well, we're swimming, and you know me and swimming in the ocean.
Yeah, so I'm gonna do. We were down in Cancun.
You're ruining
fishing,
my fact.
I know we were down in Cancun a few weeks ago fishing. Me and Josh were, and we were waiting to go out the night before. We're like, we're out by the ocean. We're gonna go out there. And he's like, no. I don't like sharks. Why not? They're fish with teeth. I thought we liked fish with teeth. Yeah. Not those ones. They can raise their body temperature and eat me.
Right. And so then, of course, what happens? Right. What we go? We charter a boat. We go out, and right before the boat breaks down, we get one fish strike, and it just hammers it as we're letting it out.
It's a big shark.
And it's an amigo. Well, you know, what do you think it was? And he goes, shark. And I'm like, I told you, shark.
So anyway, you were saying.
So anyways, I think the important thing is for people to keep in mind, especially when you're talking about walleyes, pike, muskie, is a couple degrees can make all the difference in the world.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, that could be like you jumping in your hot tub when it's, you know, 20 degrees out. Mm-hmm. That is what a few degrees would feel like to those fish. So, I mean, if the ice comes off and your water temperature is hovering around 38 degrees, which is that always kind of seems to be about
36,
what it's like.
38, you're going to find.
You find 38, 39, you find 40, you're
money.
You're big, especially when that sun goes down.
Well, you know, the walleye are going to spawn between usually around that 40 to 44 degrees. So when they're getting to that 40, you find 39.5, 40 degrees.
Right.
You know that water is holding fish. They're actively staging in that area.
Yep. Yep.
No, it's a lot of males. You're going to catch a lot of males.
You know, and the coolest thing about this time of year, it's when the fish, walleyes, are absolutely at their biggest, heaviest weight of the year.
Right.
They are loaded with eggs. It's pre-spawn.
Right.
So, yeah, you have your chance at catching a fish of a lifetime.
Right. Well, and it always surprises me, too, when, you know, we're talking about how big the walleyes get or how you know, much they weigh at this time of year. When we do start to catch those smallmouth, you know, because we'll catch them trolling crankbaits at night. But when we start to get those small, they are gigantic too. I mean, you can get an 18-inch smallmouth that is, you know, 5 pounds, and they're just meatheads.
Fat.
So that's another, you know, really fun thing is fishing shallow, you know, and we I don't know, what was it, a couple years ago or probably 3 years ago now, where we started casting jigging wraps up shallow and started catching walleyes in just a few feet of water and jigging wraps in the spring.
Well, we were casting those crystallized jigs too.
Yep, we kept casting those. Okay, well, let's get back to our scenario. So now we're in the boat. We're ripping across the lake. We know where we're going. We get there. Ooh, water temps at like 38. 38 sound good? Okay, well, what are you going to do, Josh? What are you going to throw? Are you going to troll?
Is it dark yet?
No, this is during the day.
Middle of the day.
Yep, afternoon. We finally got out. We got off work at noon, hit the lake.
2 o'clock.
We're planning on fishing into the dark, but it's 2 o'clock right now.
You know, for me, this can be one of the hardest times of the year to figure out what to do in that time, because I know what I'm going to do the second it starts getting close to dark. I'm going to put on the stick baits, and we're going to troll, what, 0.8, 1 mile an hour, maybe. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go troll stick baits, whether it be on boards or handheld or whatever. So that's easy. That's a given. But I think when it gets, you know, when it's early like that, I think there's two things I have learned more recently than before is a jig is always, I think, the first option. So I would go with a small 3-inch ripple shed on a 1/8-ounce jig head. And I would go and I would work it very slow.
So you're going to vertical?
Nope.
You're going to cast?
I'm going to cast and I'm going to do very slow. Just little hops. So we're like dragging.
We're like in that 8-10 foot bay.
Yeah, maybe. Or even 4 foot. Casting up 4-3 foot kind of deal. I think that's an option. I think then my next option is your jigging wraps. I think the and both vertical and casting. It was a real eye opener when, you know, we caught those fish up shallow casting jigging wraps, because we had been catching them in the basin portion of the lake earlier in the day, remember?
Yeah, same
tons. Day. Mm-hmm. Well, those were all those leftover winter fish. Those are not the fish we are talking about.
And they were juvenile.
And they were small. Yep. But they were those, because that's where they go, right? I mean, it gets cold. They go in the basin. It's the warmer water. Those were the leftover winter fish. They hadn't quite moved up yet. The bigger fish, which we caught, were up shallow. What were 2.5 feet of water, 3 feet of water when you caught that fish? Mm-hmm. So I think that, you know, casting the jigging wraps, the shiver minnows, and just, you know, not crazy working it, but lifting it, raising it, letting it fall.
That's what I was going to get into, with the action that you're using, because I remember it was not a real, we don't do a real aggressive retrieve on that. Mm-mm. You're letting that bait work.
Yep.
Work that area. So if you're casting up in 2 feet of water, let's just say it's a jig, because that's what the glide jigs that they have. I don't think it was a glide jig. I think it was a ball head jig. I can't remember what we were catching them on. But we're working them. We're popping it, letting it sit for 2-3 seconds, rolling it. It's nice and slow. Pop it again, let it sit.
Sure.
Just gentle pops.
Gulp.
Just letting it sit. Sometimes we were getting a lot of fish when that jig was sitting on the ground for 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Just not moving. Just sitting there. It's painful because you want to work an area. But working an area doesn't always mean as many casts as you can get in. Mm-hmm. It's working it smart.
Yep.
And these fish, you have to remember, they're starting to get active, right? They're in that warmer water. They're starting to feed. But they're not super aggressive. They're not speed demons right now. So work it. Let them have the chance. A lot of times those walleye or even the smallies,
absolutely,
when you're casting up there and jigging and popping it and letting it sit for that 5-10 seconds, it just seems like an eternity.
Right.
You watch undercam videos, a lot of times in the spring, they're just sitting there holding on it.
They're just staring at it.
Their nose is right next to it.
Yep.
And as soon as you pop it again, bam.
Yep.
They'll pick it up or they'll fall out on the next jump drop.
Well, and I think that's a great point. And we have discussed this recently and put it into action, I think, the last couple of years more. And I used to do it as a kid from shore. You know, I am the fish strike on the paws.
Seems like
everything.
A lot.
Jigs, topwater, you know, whatever species, they like to strike on the paws. And some of the recent, you know, underwater cam footage that we've seen is really, you know, even pushing that idea further, because even the northerns, when you're ice fishing and you're sitting there watching them, those northerns nose up to it and they watch it forever. Muskie, watch it forever. And then all of a sudden, like you said, Brad, it's a hop, but they're not hitting it as it's coming up. It's coming back down.
Boom, it's like it gets them excited. Yep. When that hop, they're like, oh. And then it falls down, they're like, "Mom, I'm getting it this time."
Yeah, well, they typically they're going to go after it when it's susceptible to, yes, you know,
exactly,
what,
right?
Oh, like what happened just there? But yep. I'm going to take advantage of it and hammer it.
And that's what we did casting from shore, is, you know, in the evenings for walleyes, is we would use original Rapalas.
Rapalas.
Sorry.
That's going to be next week's fun fishing fact.
Yeah. It's how to pronounce Rapalas. Yeah. But it, you know, we would cast and we would stick a small split shot about a foot and a half above it. So it would, you know, it would still float up, but not as fast. We'd cast from shore and you'd jerk it and pause it, like you said, and it would just slow come up. Every fish came on the pause.
Well, suspended baits. Mm-hmm.
Yep. But it was the pause. The jerk would flash.
I was going to ask you this, but for me, in the spring too, oh yeah, very subtle bites. I mean, hammer
pick it.
It
up.
No, it's a tick, just a little tick. Well, that's where, you know, like fire line or using any kind of super line.
Yep.
That's where it really pays dividends because, you know, it'll probably be cold, you know, on that opening day. Yep. Your hands are cold. You got gloves on, whatever. Yeah, it's hard to feel those light bites. So that super line is
the way to go. Yeah, that with like a 3 foot fluorocarbon leader.
Yeah.
No stretch stuff. I'm talking stuff that is very, very, very low stretch, but super sensitive. Yep. It's awesome.
And so do you guys notice, and I've noticed, and I think it's interesting, the kind of migration away from using live bait. We all used to, you know, and I know it is much more effective in different parts of the Midwest, Minnesota, stuff like that, throwing that big chub up there in the springtime on a jig head. And that's, you know, just a great way to catch fish. You've told us, Mitch, a bunch of times. But I think for us here, rarely do we break out the bait until we start getting into those closer to those summer months.
Yeah, or I would say early summer.
Yeah,
but yeah, we're pretty much fishing plastics or stick baits, hard baits at that point.
Right.
We're not getting out really a lot of live bait. usually probably around that 46 degree temperature. You know, after spawn, we'll start looking at some more. That could be a whole nother podcast,
sure.
So we won't even get into that. But right now, we're going to be talking about artificials that we're going to be using.
I just think that is absolutely a great option. When it's this cold, and for people who don't know, Colorado, we have a rough time getting minnows because of the ANS rules. But it's just one of those things.
Well, and let me tell you, our Colorado fatheads are like crappie minnows back home.
Yeah.
You know, Minnesota and stuff.
Yeah.
So now it's 5:30. You're about a half hour or so before sun's going down. We already came up to it a little bit, but I think we all know if you're fishing from a boat, it's time to get the boards out because you're going to be longlining.
Wait, first I'm going to put my headlamp on.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now
we're going to break out our dollar store glow sticks.
Yes.
And we're not having a rave in the boat, but we're going to put them in our flags.
Well, I might dance a little bit because I know night's coming.
Now the dance started.
Yeah. Again. Now the dance is starting.
Brand new game.
Yep. So we're going to run. You know. In Colorado, you can run 2 rods each. A lot of times, just because it's night and it's a little harder to see what you're doing, even though there's 3 of us on the boat, and legally we could run 6 poles.
Right.
A lot of times we're still running 4.
Yeah, I
just to get good separation.
We might put that 5th straight off the back of the boat, but we'll just run the 2 boards on each side usually.
So it's going to be shallow, though. We're going to be running these stick baits shallow. We're going to be running them anywhere that 2 to 5 foot suspended are from the top of the water. That's how deep we're going to run them, 2 to 5 feet.
Right.
And we're going to be running them slow, 0.8 to maybe 1.1.
I mean, it seemed like when we got up over 1, that was just, we just were wasting our time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm just saying that's kind of the max range on that.
Yeah.
So we'll usually run whatever you're going to run, whether it's going to be a rogue, it's going to be a cutter, it's going to be a rapala, whatever that is.
Sure.
Whatever that crankbait that you're using, first of all, you want to have a 9 or bigger. You know, 9s, 11s, 13s are really good. But you want to run them whatever that dive curve is for the bait that you like using to try to keep it 5 feet and up.
Well, and remember, the dive curve is usually set at 2 miles an hour. So even with that dive curve, it's going to be even less because we are going so slow.
Yeah, keep that in mind. And I'm telling you, we use a lot of line counter reels so we can the consistency of it.
Absolutely.
We start picking fish up on a clown rogue or whatever, and it's 25 feet back before we put on our board. What are we going to be running our other board?
Yep. Exactly.
Exactly. It's being consistent and trying to mimic what's working.
Right.
The next night, it might be the Rapala perch that's working for whatever reason,
right.
But to have that arsenal in there, and don't be afraid to change it and be mindful of what's actually catching right. that night. And mm-hmm. it's not one of these, and I want the listeners to know too, this is not one of those ones where you're going to catch 30 fish in an evening.
No, no. Five or six a night.
I was going to say four or five is a good night. Yep. And if you get, we've had a couple nights where we've got eight and it was on fire.
Yeah, you're just going at it. Well, and because the greatest part about spring, and like we talked about with fall, is you never know. The second that mm-hmm. flag goes down and that board starts
going, so we're talking a lot about boards. And if you're new to All Eyes on Fishing, we also have a YouTube channel that we have a planer board video. Yes. I encourage you to go out there if you don't know what boards are. They're a little bit intimidating if you're just looking at them, but super simple.
Right.
It really does not take long. Go to our YouTube channel at All Eyes on Fishing and take a look at it. It's planer boards. It's, I don't know, 5-6 minutes long. It's not super long, but it really tells you how to use the boards.
Yeah, just the basics.
It doesn't tell you how to attach the flag, or the glow stick to the flag, right. But that's pretty simple. Yeah. You got use the skinny ones that are about 6-8 inches long and stick them right in the slit of the flags. And that's mm-hmm. the only thing we don't have on there. So take a look at that if you're new to boards.
Yep. And if you go to our webpage, alleyesonfishing.com, we have a section called podcast products. So products we talk about in our podcasts, we put in there with links to their web pages so you can buy them. And in there is offshore planer boards, which are the planer boards we use. And you can go in there, you can see the planer board, you can see what it is, you can link right to their page and get your planer boards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Try them out. I mean, really, we're not pushing anything out here that we are not using and that doesn't work. So is there anything else? Now it's midnight. You got to work. You got to get up at 5:30 in the morning. We'll probably load the boat.
And it's about 22 degrees at this
time.
And right now, the last thing you want to do is, get out of the boat, lower the motors. Everything's wet. That's just the worst part about spring fishing.
Yeah. unless it was a good night fishing.
Well, the only thing that sucks is that you're going home.
Yeah.
But you get the next night. There's always another night.
That's right.
Now's another night. So, get out on the water and try this spring, because you're really going to have a chance of catching a fish of a lifetime. I mean, this is a great time of year. This and the fall are chances to catch pigs. Yep. When they're putting their feed bags on in the fall, and when they're spawned up, or when they're egged up.
Real quick, we kind of talked about us being out in our boats, which of course we're going to be. But anybody that doesn't have a boat, shorelines. It's the same deal.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, it's almost better. I mean, we argue about, are we doing boat or shore? Because those fish are cruising up in there, and to be honest, it's a lot of times easier to fish those fish from shore than it is from a boat, because it's kind of tough. You don't want to bang your motor on a rock or something, but you're going to get it up in there. You're going to be shallow. So
that's another thing. So those shore fishermen, pay attention this summer. If you don't know where the shallow parts are, like I said, look at the grass, or the weeds that are growing up, because that'll tell you when spring comes where to start fishing.
Inlet areas, and then dam riprap.
Get a lake map.
Well, riprap. If you have something that's at the base of a bridge or an embankment, or or the dams for the reservoirs, the riprap, those walleyes are all
And the
wipers. Don't forget the wipers are up in there too.
I think we're going to wrap it up on tonight's podcast. We want to make sure that everybody knows that we do have a lot of podcasts out there, but we'd encourage you guys to comment on them. And also, if you go to our email at alleyesonfishing@gmail.com and send us what you want us to talk about. We get a lot of our podcasts of what we're going to talk about through the listeners. So we'd be more than happy to talk about what's coming up next.
Absolutely. And we just revamped our webpage, which is pretty awesome. And I think it looks killer. Part of what we added was logo apparel. So we have had a lot of requests. Hey, I want a sticker. Hey, are you guys going to do hats? How about a hoodie? So we added all of that. For you guys to be able to order logo apparel, and of course we were excited because we want our own logo apparel to wear around. But go in, you can shop, you can order it right through there. We'll get it sent out to you as quick as possible, and I think it's pretty cool. It's Mitch's new logo, which is way cool. Check it out, and it's simple.
Nice.
Yeah, it's simple. It's all fishing, all business.
And another thing too, talking about business is when we leave or people come in and out of different states, they don't know where to go. So if you're a guide out there, whether it's saltwater, whether it's freshwater, whether it's rivers, whatever, send us an email And we're putting a lot of guides up on our website.
That's right.
And fishing reports for a bunch of different states. So you have an idea when you go to a place working, you can start. Because that's intimidating going to, all of a sudden I go to South Dakota, I've never been there.
Right.
Where do I go? What do I do? Where do I start?
Yep. And so, I'm tired of throwing it out on Facebook saying, hey, we're going to Cancun next month. Anybody have any good guides? I would love to be able to go to one place to say, hey, look, there's 15 guides here in Cancun. Let's see which ones we like best.
So that's what we're trying to do.
That's
so
the
goal. So if you're a guide, email us at alleyesonfishing@gmail.com. Give us your logo.
And what I will do is we will link your logo directly to your webpage so they can go right in and book that trip. But we haven't had a ton of people get us their information. And I know you Great Lakes guys, you guys, there's 1,000 charters all over those lakes. Send us your info, because the ones that are sending us their info, they're going to be the ones that get seen first. And, you know, we average about 3,000 to 4,000 people that visit our webpage a month or more. So that's a lot of free advertisement. No strings. Just get us your info.
Yeah, it's free. We don't charge anything. We just want to offer that to, you know, our followers and people that check us out. So
I think that's all I've got. I'm getting excited. I mean, it's fun. We've been working our tails off on this webpage and all this stuff, and now
we had to get it done before March 1st when the lake opens.
Well, I was going to say, we're 2 weeks away from that scenario we're talking about.
All right, guys. Hey, from everybody at All Eyes on Fishing, thanks a lot for following us. Following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Make sure that you check out our new website at alleyesonfishing.com. And also, if you have questions, guides, whatever, hit us up at alleyesonfishing@gmail.com.
Yep.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thank you for joining us. Join us again next time, where we discuss all of your favorite fishing topics. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Check out our videos on YouTube, or read our blog at alleyesonfishing.com. All Eyes on Fishing, leading you to the next level.